We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Whoa, whoa, yeah. Sometimes we laugh, sometimes we cry, but I guess you know now.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
We took a trip, now we on your block, and it's like a ghost town. Baby, where did he be at when they said they're going out?
It's about time for my guy to join the show. That would be Christian Fowler, senior writer and content creator for Bluff City Media. You can find our podcast. It's called On the Bluff Pod. Anywhere you find your podcast, Spotify, Apple. You can go on YouTube. Just type in Bluff City Media. Go to that channel. You'll figure it out. And you can find him on Twitter at CFowlerBCM. Christian, what's up, man?
Oh, nothing much. We had a lot to talk about on the Bluff last night. Now we have a lot to talk about today, too.
Yeah. Penny gave us a lot the past couple weeks, didn't he?
Finally.
It's been quiet. But honestly, isn't it sort of contrary to the past? He's working like genuinely in silence. Like the David Jones stuff, seeing he came on a visit, an official visit late last week, no one had reported on that. Like no one really knew that he was coming to campus. No one knew that the Tigers were involved until he ultimately was on campus and committed.
Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't post those pictures on his Instagram, like, do we know about him coming on a visit?
Right.
Or does he just surprisingly commit and everyone's like, what's going on? I think after he visited, there were some reports that Memphis was involved, Kentucky was involved, and a couple other schools were involved. But, like, if he doesn't post those pictures, that might be one of those things where we don't know until he literally announced. I mean, John Rothstein's the one that broke it. But until someone would have broken the news of that he committed, like, we may have not even known that Memphis was pursuing him.
So holler at me about him, man. I mean, 6'6", 210, St. John's transfer, went to St. John's after 2 years at DePaul, 13 points per game, 7 rebounds per game, seems relatively versatile, but there are some drawbacks, and I'm not going to – it's a great pickup. It's unbelievable considering the time of the calendar we're at, but 40% from the field at his size, not much of a three-point shooter, but still there's a scoring punch there and definitely some defensive upside.
Yeah, and I think that's really the only holes or flaws or negatives in his game that you can point at is the shooting percentages aren't great. And like you said, 40% from the floor, 29% from three. But other than that, like, very well-rounded, versatile player, averaged almost a steal and a half a game last year at St. John's. I think John Rothstein went as far to even say that he could see David Jones winning player of the year in the conference next year, which that speaks volumes because – I feel like so often, like us as Memphis media, like we can say things and, you know, sometimes there are natural biases for being in a city and, you know, for covering a team for so long. But to hear a well-respected national media member say that David Jones has the ability and that is that type of player where he could see him in contention for conference player of the year really says everything you need to know about the kind of player that he is.
So he's a double-double guy, played the three or four at St. John's. How do you feel about the comp? It's sort of Elijah McCadden with more scoring upside. Is that sort of on board? Are you on board with that comp?
Yeah, I mean, especially to keep the local ties and to have someone that was in a Memphis uniform last year.
Yeah, so we can have someone that hits close to home.
Right, exactly. And I think, like you said, the offensive upside is there. And just the overall upside, you know, I think he's just a better overall player. I'm not saying anything negative about Elijah McCadden at all because he outperformed pretty much everyone's expectations on campus last year. But David Jones is a legit player and someone that can be could be the best player on this team. And that's how good I believe that he is and the potential that he has. But, yeah, that role, that 3-4, I think is very comparable to what Elijah did last year. I think we saw Elijah bring the ball up a little bit more than David Jones will. I think he'll primarily play on the wing and play some of the four and small ball lineups. But the fit is perfect. And Penny has gotten so many players in this cycle and from the transfer portal that we've just said this is like the most perfect fit there could be. I think we said that about TFAO Leonard just because of his defensive prowess. Jonathan Pierre because of what he brings as a big guard, and then now David Jones as well. It just feels like he's tailor-made for Penny's system.
What is sort of the description you give? Let's leave DeAndre. We'll get to DeAndre Williams. There's plenty to get to there. We'll get to him in a second. But what's your sort of description of this roster headed into next year just as it's currently constructed? Obviously, we don't know about Mikey Williams, but, I mean, I just look at some of these transfer portal additions, the guys they got that have experience. The only word I can come up with is versatile.
Yep, that's exactly where I was going. The first word that comes to mind to me is versatile. Just with what they have, the size, the positionless basketball that could be played with this lineup. But we talked about it last night. Just if you go with a hypothetical lineup, I'll just spit out five players. But just from what, you know, kind of guessing a little bit and educated guesses on what we've seen so far, what we've heard so far, like Caleb Mills is probably the one right now, 6'4", Jonathan Pierre, 6'9", TFAO Leonard, somewhere between 6'7", and 6'10", David Jones at 6'6", and then Nick Jourdain at 6'9". So it's monsters everywhere as far as just length and size. No, they don't have any 7-foot guys. They don't have any quote-unquote true centers or true big men, but they've got length, they've got versatility, they've got defensive prowess, they got guys that can get out and run the floor. And I think last year was a little bit different for Penny as far as the system goes. Obviously, you know, things are going to change every year because of the players that you have in the system that fits them best. You know, last year they were a little bit slower with Kendrick Davis at the helm, but I think this year we see a switch back to that just run you to death, and that's what this feels like, and that's what this roster is set up for right now.
So I'm not worried about the defensive prowess even remotely, but when we talk about the offensive ability, let's just say, DeAndre Williams out of the fold for now. He is out of eligibility until the NCAA says otherwise. Where are you at offensively with this roster as currently constructed?
Obviously, I like it a lot more if DeAndre Williams gets in the fold, but
God, yes.
I'm not scared of it right now. I think they have guys that can score. I don't think they have an elite scorer, a proven elite scorer at this level currently, but you've got Caleb Mills who can score 13 to 15 a night. You've got David Jones who had proved at a high level last year at St. John's that he can score 14 points per game. You've got Jonathan Pierre who went on a tear over the last 20 games or so last year at Nova Southeastern at the D2 level. Obviously, it'll be interesting to see how that translates and what he's able to do offensively and what they ask him to do offensively. TFAO Leonard at MTSU last year, nearly a 9-point per game score. Nick Jourdain, a guy that can probably contribute 6 to 8 a night. So they've got guys that can score. I don't feel like they're a terrible offensive team by any means right now. Do I feel like DeAndre Williams takes it over the top? Absolutely. But currently, as it sits right now, I don't hate it at all. They've got plenty of guys that can score within that 10 to 17, 10 to 18 range on any given night.
Something that just keeps, I mean, it's year after year with Penny Hardaway. When he has his back up against the wall, when you feel like you're getting late in that recruiting clock, he does his best work, doesn't he?
Absolutely. And I'm going to steal your point from yesterday because I think it was really perfect in the way that it was put, in the fact that for so long, for the past month and a half, 2 months, everyone's been scratching their heads. What's going on? What's going to happen? Is he, you know, how does this shake out? And you pointed out that this DeAndre Williams stuff, this isn't something that just happened overnight. This is probably something the wheels have been turning on for some time now. It's not something that happens that quickly. So this is a plan that he's had all along. While everyone else has been in the dark and curious as to what's going to happen, Penny's been behind the scenes putting it together perfectly. And once again, being in that position where people are questioning it and people can't quite see the vision, they had the vision put together the whole time, and now we've seen most of it come to fruition, and really DeAndre Williams is the last domino to fall, with the caveat of what happens with Mikey Williams.
All right, now DeAndre Williams, what do you think about his case, man? What do you think about him getting that extra year? And it's just hard for me to get a finger on the pulse of like how the NCAA is going to go about making this decision. They don't do anything very fast. They don't put anything on the fast track. But what's your immediate feel, I guess, on DeAndre Williams getting that extra year?
I really don't know. Like DeAndre's had such a unique time frame from the time that, you know, he was at charter school until his last season with Memphis, that it's like, how does this shake out? I mean, he's constantly battled with the NCAA at Evansville when he first got to Memphis, didn't play until the Tulane game, I believe was the 12th game of the season. So he's constantly had these battles with the NCAA. And so it'll be very interesting to see how it plays out, because you have, on one hand, you have DeAndre Williams' counsel saying they feel like they have a really good case. And then you have other people speculating and looking at things saying that this just doesn't line up. It doesn't make sense. But I think technically you get 5 years and he's only played four. So, right. I mean, I really don't know. You don't ever know what the NCAA is going to do, what the ruling is going to be, how it shakes out. Or how they justify that case. But regardless of that, like, this has to excite Memphis fans, and it clearly has. Like, if you just look on social media, like, fans did a complete 360 of, like, what's going to happen to, okay, this team can win the conference next year, especially if DeAndre's on board. The addition of David Jones was obviously huge, and then now the potential of getting DeAndre Williams back for another year has fans fired up, as it should. I mean, you get arguably the best player in the conference if DeAndre Williams comes back.
Now, seemingly he has a case, but it's so peculiar. Now, granted, I think Don Jackson, who took Penny through the IARP case, he has a lot of experience with these type of cases, getting student athletes' years of eligibility back. But I still have my concerns about, you know, when we talk about a guy that was a non-qualifier academically, how does the NCAA view that? Like, that's my biggest question, I think, when we're talking about him getting another year back.
And it's a fair point to wonder. But the thing, I think their best case lies in the fact that it wasn't necessarily his fault that
right.
he was a non-qualifier.
Bad advice, that type of thing.
Right, and who knows what kind of grace or leniency they'll show because of that. But, I mean, this was a kid who was, from, you know, things that we've heard and things that have been said, that was led astray and was led to believe that there would be no issues and no problems. And obviously when he got to Evansville, there was, as he wasn't a qualifier. But with being that far removed from it also, I would say that helps, just out of a guess of it, just being that far removed from that and not being something recent and being like, okay, we feel like we're getting played as the NCAA, but I think they know that case well enough to know that DeAndre thought that he was in the clear and was told that that he would be okay doing what he did. So who knows how it shakes out, man? Who knows how they actually look at it and break it down? But just the prospect and just the thought of it being a possibility is definitely exciting.
And also the other thing that it begs the question of, we've been talking about NIL, potential NIL struggles. I'd imagine if DeAndre's thinking about coming back for another year, that's probably in order for him.
Yeah, it has to be. I mean, that's got to be part of the allure to come back after so many years in college and after you've accomplished everything that he's accomplished. So I can't knock him for it at all. I mean, come back, make a little bit of money, be one of the best players in the conference again, and try to get in the NCAA tournament again and see if you can make some noise. Why not, if you have that opportunity?
And I keep making the joke, it's better than going to the Dominican Republic or Mexico and being away from your family for an extended period of time for probably the same amount of money he'd make in a year at Memphis.
What'd you say last night? Serbia in the winter?
Yeah, right. I mean, it's a no-brainer for him. You see some people say, okay, what time, when? And I made a I asked a question last week when I was reacting live to the news when we saw Doc Holliday put out the statement from DeAndre. I said, you know, tongue in cheek, you know, when is it time to move on? But in this day and age, college basketball, like I don't know, especially for guys that don't really have that NBA upside. I don't know if there really is a great time to move on with the NIL money that could be infused into your college experience.
There's not. Stay is if you're not going to go make millions and you're not you don't have those NBA prospects and you're not a guy that could hang on a roster or, you know, stay around for a few years to get the retirement with the NBA or with a professional sports league, why not stay and make some money and bigger than that even really, because that's such a 1 to 2, you know, that's only a small portion of it. Make those connections, those people that you're going to meet through those things, through working NIL deals and stuff like that, the connections that you get from that, those are the things that can get you jobs later in life if you're not going to be a professional athlete. So NIL is really set up to help these guys pass, you know, their years of college and getting paid by different companies and businesses and stuff, because then you have those built-in connections with people.
And I've said this too. I think the overall health of college basketball with NIL, I mean, roster retainage and keeping guys in the fold, like, that's tough. Like, with transfer.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The transfer situation and one-time transfer and grad transfers, how easy it is to move around. But at the same time, the star power is still there. And DeAndre Williams is a good example of that.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, he's not going to be a first-round pick or anything like that, but, I mean, he was one of the best bigs in college basketball last year, averaged 18-8. You know, we made arguments multiple times. You know, could he be the second-best player in the conference at this point in the season? Like, we know Marcus Sasser was getting all the buzz and ultimately won conference player of the year, but there were plenty of games where DeAndre not only looked like, you know, a top two or three player in the conference, but there were multiple games where he looked like the best player in the conference. So, definitely still star power there.
There was a time, though. I mean, if this was 5 years ago, DeAndre Williams is gone, and we don't even think about this, right?
Right, yeah, and that just shows you how insane the landscape of college athletics are at this point.
There's drawbacks, but there's also some overwhelming positives to where we're at. And, like, Nick Saban said they want to transition to sort of the employer-employee system, but I think there would be even more drawbacks to that system if we moved that direction with some of the taxes that have to be paid. You know, you have to pay your dues to a union, right? Like, it becomes a lot more complicated if we go that direction. And I think that ultimately for schools like the University of Memphis, they can still compete in this realm with the way it's set up to a certain extent. I think if you go that route, having to pay full-on salaries year after year after year, the schools like Memphis, FAU, all these teams in the AAC would just disintegrate in a lot of ways if you go that route.
Yeah, I'm glad we don't work in college athletics or work for the NCAA.
Hell yeah. Could you imagine making these decisions? Oh, my God.
No shot. It is the worst time to work in that field and try to navigate through all these different things coming up at once with NIL, with transfer portal, with, you know, still dealing with or having gone through the COVID year. Yeah, it's a weird, strange, crazy time for college athletics, but we'll see how that stuff shakes out. I'm like you said, I'm glad we're not making those decisions.
Yeah. Now, last thing on the Memphis basketball front, do you have any remote idea of what else could be on the horizon? We'll see what happens with DeAndre Williams, but I mean, I've heard multiple places there's one scholarship open. I've heard multiple places there's two scholarships open, easy for me to say, because Jaden Hardaway's been a walk-on the past 2 years, but there was some thought that he was going to be back on scholarship. Do you have any remote idea? Just guesses.
I mean, I would guess one as of right now. and if Mikey ultimately doesn't make it to campus too. But if there were players that he felt like fit in and needed to be here and they wanted to be here, I don't see why moving Jaden off scholarship would be a bad plan. You open a scholarship and then you have a guy in Jaden Hardaway who is good enough to be a scholarship player but doesn't have to be because, you know, his dad's the coach.
And let me ask you this on just a interesting front, because, like, I am all for Penny Hardaway standing by a guy that he went and found from a, you know, on the recruiting trail in Mikey Williams. But do you think him standing by him in this way, trying to make this thing work, do you think ultimately it's a good thing or a bad thing?
That is a very tough question to answer, because I think from just being a person that stays true to their commitments to people, I think it's a great look for Penny that he's not just abandoning
someone.
Shows
the relationship building he does behind the scenes.
Right. It shows that he's not abandoning someone who's going through a difficult time. And, you know, it's still, you know, it's still innocent until proven guilty. Obviously, nothing's went through or anything like that. So standing by him, I think, is a good look for Penny. Now, overall, just looking at the state of the program and seeing, you know, where, you know, pieces that could be picked up and scholarships that could be opened, I don't know if it's the best decision to sit and wait, because you don't know if you'll reap the rewards from it. You have no idea the way the situation turns out. So it is a bit of a conundrum. You know, it could go either way. Like, you could say it's a positive, you could say it's a negative, and you could make a very compelling case and argument either way, because ultimately you could miss out on getting someone in the portal because you waited too long on Mikey and now he's not going to be able to come to campus, or something happened to where you do have to cut ties. Or on the flip side of that, you know, staying true and, you know, staying real with the commitment and allowing the things to play out. And if he does make it to campus and have a great year, then Penny looks like a genius for standing by his dad. So it could really go either way.
Yeah, and if he is able to make it to campus and play, I have no, like, you just look at this roster, especially if DeAndre Williams is part of the fold, man. Like, I had this conversation, and I brought it up with you, like, how much, if DeAndre Williams gets added to the fold, do they move up when we're talking about preseason rankings? Probably 25 to 30 spots. But if Mikey Williams can be a part of the fold, you have a guy that could potentially grow into being a true point guard that they don't have right this second. My gosh, it feels like the sky would be the limit for this program heading into next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you asked me that last night, and immediately in my head I was thinking 20 to 30 spots with DeAndre Williams. That's how much of an impact he makes. And then I don't believe that Mikey makes that big of an overall impact, especially on the front end. But as we've seen with tons and tons and tons of high-level freshmen throughout the history of college basketball, like, typically when they hit their stride is middle of the year to conference tournament time. So, you know, getting that kind of punch in the middle of the year, or going into the conference tournament, or going into the NCAA tournament, that could be massive for this team if he develops and grows into the role that Penny and the staff have envisioned for him.
Yep. Talking with Christian Fowler at C Fowler BCM from Bluff City Media. You can hear our podcast on the Bluff Pod, Apple, Spotify. You can also go to Bluff City Media on YouTube. Go to that channel and you can find our full-length video there as well. NBA Finals rolling along. It's 1-1 right now. Did Game 2 change how you're viewing this series? I know you were right there with me, sort of that Nuggets and six thought. Did Game 2 change that?
Not really. It really didn't, because even though I feel like Eric Spoelstra and the staff had a great game plan and the players executed it to perfection, you had Gabe Vincent leading the team in scoring, Bam Adebayo played really well, Jimmy Butler played well. Really, the whole team played well both ends of the floor. Duncan Robinson scores 10 points in the fourth quarter to kind of fuel that comeback. Still, as I just mentioned, they needed a comeback to win that game. And that was with really Nikola Jokic being the only player who was effective for the Nuggets. Jamal Murray was pretty inefficient for the way that he's been throughout the playoffs. Michael Porter Jr. didn't play well. Aaron Gordon didn't play particularly well. Really, the second best player on the team was Bruce Brown, your guy. With 11
Hell yeah.
points. I think he shot like 3 or 4 from the floor. So even with the whole Nuggets team not playing well, other than Nikola Jokic, they needed a comeback to win, and they only won by 3. Granted, that's a huge win for them going into Denver. Game 2, you could really have your back against the wall going into Miami if you're down 2-0, and they win that game. It still doesn't change my thoughts, because I think Mike Malone also a very good coach. I think the chess match continues, and we'll see how it shakes out. But I just feel like the Nuggets are such a much better team. And, you know, I know we've said this pretty much every time except the Knicks series with the Heat. But I just feel like with what the Nuggets have, it's going to be too much to overcome.
Do you have the proclaimed untrained eye that Eric Spoelstra says when he was asked a question by Ramona Shelburne about making Jokic a scorer as opposed to a facilitator? Do you have the same untrained eye as me where if you take the ball and the ball is in his hands and he's forced to go make plays happen at the rim, forced to go be a scorer, that's the best way to go beat the Nuggets. If he's scoring 40, you almost feel like it's a win as long as he's not having those double-digit assist games.
Yeah, I guess I have an untrained eye as well.
Guess so.
Because, I mean, him having 41 points and 4 assists kind of says it all. Because when do you ever see Nikola Jokic have less than 5 assists? It happens very rarely. And when it does, you pointed this out to me last night, when he has less than 5 assists, they're not the same team. Because that's
lost
when
their last 9 when that is the case.
Right, because when they're not getting shooters in the corner, when they're not getting the backdoor cuts, when they're not getting those things, they're not the same team. They're not in the same flow. When it's just Jokic posting up at the basket and scoring 40, that's really not their game. Like, for as incredible as he is and for as great of a game as he played on Sunday in game 2, like, that's not their game. Everyone needs to be involved. Jokic is obviously going to get his, but they need everyone else to contribute as well.
Yes, sir. Well, Christian, appreciate it, man. We'll do it again next week.
See y'all next week.
Yes, sir. That's Christian Fowler, Bluff City Media, senior writer and content creator for them. Also on the Bluff Pod, just released today, by the way, with me and Christian. That'll be on Apple, Spotify, or YouTube. Go to the Bluff City Media YouTube channel to check that out. Now, it's time for the Blitz, and we have covered a lot today. We have covered a lot. The PGA Tour and the LIV have combined. We talked about Jaren Jackson Jr. We had more clips there. He made the FIBA World Cup team. That's there. But we have to transition to some other things, and that would be another gambling scandal in the NFL. This one definitely a lot more intrusive, and it has to do with the Indianapolis Colts. And also, per Front Office Sports, there is a leader. There's a leading candidate to replace Shannon Sharpe on Undisputed, to sit across from Skip Bayless. We'll tell you who that is, and we'll react to that on the other side on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You're about to feel the chronicle. When disaster strikes, you have to call Service Master by Cornerstone. Like the big announcer man said, we are live from Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. But Service Master by Cornerstone is the largest franchise in a 600-mile radius. Don't just call them because they're the largest, though. Call them because they can handle all of your problems. They can handle your disasters, home, office, residential properties, all of that. If you have water damage from a busted water heater, frozen pipes, you have a leak, whatever it may be, toilet overflows, you have a fire, and there's smoke damage, there's mold, good old damage caused by a storm to your home, make sure you call Service Master by Cornerstone. They, no matter the place, no matter the size, are here to help you. It's what they do. They are absolute helpers. Tyler, the president and owner of Service Master by Cornerstone, and his team are there to help you every step of the way at these moments. Their motto is, we don't pray for disaster. We just pray we get called when there is one. So remember the name, locally owned, locally operated, Service Master by Cornerstone. And their number's very simple, because what they do is respond. They respond to your disasters. So that number is 901-RESPOND. 901-RESPOND. 901-RESPOND for Service Master by Cornerstone. Now again, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios, and it's time for the Blitz.
Now, the biggest stories overloading the line. A bull rush of info. It's Gabe's Blitz on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
Gabe, we have another gambling scandal.
Of course we do. Of course, but before we even like mention the name, of course we do, Connor.
Yes, we do.
Because it's so available to all of these guys and it's pushed in their face, and the NFL has so many different contracts with all of these different sports books. I mean, it's all over the place. So it's not surprising. We're going to have more, and we're going to have more intrusive ones, and this one seems relatively intrusive.
Speaking of NFL, this one is actually in the NFL. It's Colts cornerback Isaiah Rodgers.
Isaiah Rodgers. He put out he addressed it via Instagram and Twitter. He said, addressing the current reports, I want to take full responsibility for my actions. I know I've made mistakes, and I am willing to do whatever it takes to repair the situation. The last thing I ever wanted to do was to be a distraction to the Colts organization, my coaches, and my teammates. I've let people down that I care about. I made an error in judgment, and I'm going to work hard to make sure those mistakes are rectified through this process. It's an honor to play in the NFL, and I've never taken that lightly. I'm very sorry for all of this. So, the story goes is that he opened a sportsbook account under the name of an associate of him, Isaiah Rodgers. Approximately 100 bets have been placed on the account over an undisclosed amount of time, you know, 1 or 2 years, whatever it may be. But here's the kicker, including Colts games.
Oh.
He bet on Colts games while he was playing for the Colts. He started 9 games for the Colts last year. And here's what I fail to understand about this particular situation. Most of the bets, of those 100 bets, were in the $25 to $50 range. You're willing to put yourself in harm's way. You know you can't bet on the NFL. You're willing to throw it all away for $25 to $50 bets? He made $3.4 million over the last 3 years. $25 to $50, you're willing to sabotage your whole career for that? Now, there was one low four-figure bet somewhere in the thousands. I just can't understand how you make this mistake. I can't understand what has to go through your mind when you know it's illegal and you're placing just small bets here and there, just trickling them out over the span of 1 to 2 years. It's stupid. It's dumb. And he's going to get 16 games at the very least. I mean, we talked about the Calvin Ridley situation. I believe he placed bets mostly away from the Falcons when he was away from the Falcons for his mental health year. But I think he had a couple on the Falcons as well. 16 games seems about where this is going to go. But it's frustrating because I know Isaiah Rodgers is not the only one. And in these situations, unfortunately, we have to call into question the integrity of the game. This guy started 9 games for them last year. Did he bet on them to win? Did he bet on them to lose? Where was he putting his money? And I hope we learn more about that. I don't know if they're actually, you know, the Indiana Gambling Commission is going to actually put those nuggets out, that information out. But this is brutal, man. And he's a 6th-round pick and going into his final year. This could ultimately leave him without a job in the NFL. It's not like he's not like he's Calvin Ridley, right? Not like he's Jameson Williams, where guys were spending first or second round picks on him. He's a 6th-round guy, and he's coming at the end of a contract that they did not renew. So, I mean, just stupid. Self-sabotage, and the NFL is going to come down on him hard, and they should.
I just don't understand the desire to bet on yourself if you're going to do this. Like, why bet on the team that you're playing for? That just feels like the most risk thing, like the most high risk thing that you could possibly do.
And if you're betting $25 to $50 like, on most of it,
what's the point?
What are you doing?
It's just silly.
Now, I've talked about this in the past when it has to do with Jameson Williams with the Lions and some of those guys with the Lions that had 6-game suspensions. Some of the rules that the NFL has on gambling are a little bit arbitrary. A little bit arbitrary. Yeah, Jameson Williams suspended for 6 games because he placed a bet, not on the NFL, but on other things on facility grounds, and that somehow warrants a 6-game suspension.
That's ridiculous.
Stupid.
That's ridiculous.
This is open and shut, though.
Correct.
There's no doubt that he should serve a massive suspension, and this should put his career in jeopardy.
Well, to your point in the story that you just told there about Jameson Williams, it's not like they're not allowed to bet on other sports.
Right.
Just bet on other sports, dude.
Yes. Oh, my God. It's ridiculous. I with the Jameson Williams thing, I think the NFL needs to look at that,
right,
and sort of revisit that to a certain extent. But if you're betting on your sport, you have no ground to stand on. And I think Isaiah Rodgers knows that, but it's just, I hate to see guys, young guys, in the NFL where it's already hard to make a career even 3 years. It's hard to make a career last 3 to 4 years. He's made it three
it's
years.
It's hard to step on the field.
But it's so hard to get to a situation where you're starting 9 games in the NFL and to throw it away over $25 bets. I mean, dummy of the year. I mean, seriously. I mean, there's a lot of dummies out there, but this is just Isaiah. What the hell are you thinking? What are you doing? They have put this in the handbook. And even if they didn't put it in the handbook, you know that it's morally incorrect to bet on yourself or on your sport, on your team. We've seen Pete Rose for betting on his team when he was playing, but mostly when he was a manager. He can't get into the Hall of Fame even though he's the career leader in hits. We know how morally incorrect this is, and you made this decision knowing the moral implications of it. Nasty. Just plain up, stupid, and nasty.
Well, and the thing with Pete Rose is at least we know that he was betting on his teams to win. You know, he wasn't betting against his teams.
But then also
he wasn't
the question does become like, okay, if you're not betting on your team to win that night, are you basically betting on them to lose, right? Like, and he was going through a bookie, so that bookie would see that and say, oh, well, Pete didn't bet on him tonight. So, like, the integrity of the whole thing still is in question if you're betting on your sport and your team in general.
My point is, though, just having to ask the question of whether he was betting on his team versus not is something that the integrity of the sport comes into question there in the games, and especially a team like the Colts who were very bad last season. It's just a bad look all around. I just don't understand. We talked about this last week with the burner accounts, right?
Yep.
If you're going to do this, at least cover your tracks and use your brain when you're doing it. Don't just open up an account under another name. Have the person actually run it. If you cannot resist gambling on the NFL for some reason you can't resist it, give the money to your friend, let them do it, and just don't have any connection to it. No paper trail. Cover your tracks, people.
But we usually talk about professional sports and college sports, and some people will be, you know, the crazy ones in the past that say, oh, well, it's fixed. At this point, integrity is called into question. Iowa and Iowa State have, you know, 70 some odd athletes that have been involved in scandals. You had the coach, Brad Bohannon, at Alabama, who was texting or calling somebody in Cincinnati to place bets on a game that he was currently at, and he sat down his ace pitcher. Like, we're going down this path so fast, and we can't reverse it. And it's a scary thought. And the integrity of all sports, especially in this country, and certainly worldwide, it's bad. It's all bad.
I'm going to be able to connect this to a movie just because I am who I am.
Yes.
It feels like we're heading towards a Henry Hill Boston College situation very quickly.
Yeah.
Because if people don't know, the entire Boston College team was throwing games because they were getting money from Henry Hill, who is, of course, from Goodfellas. He's Ray Liotta's character from Goodfellas. And it just feels like that's inevitable. We're going to eventually get somewhere where it's like this entire program is gambling. And it's unfortunate. It feels like, and I think that we talked about this last week or the week before, too, that gambling is evolving faster than the rules are. And we've got to get ahead of that.
And I enjoy gambling.
Absolutely.
I love betting on sports. I can bet on sports, though.
Right.
And right, like I may have certain information at my disposal that I've gone through stats and I may know more than the next guy, just a normal guy betting on it, but I still am able to do that. When you're playing a professional sport, when you're coaching a professional sport, you should not be delving into those waters, especially on your own sport. But part of me, and I've brought this up in the past, part of me, it's not that I feel for the people that are making these mistakes. Like Isaiah Rodgers, you're an idiot. You're an idiot for doing what you did. But at the same time, with how prevalent it is, with how out there it is, with how much we've pushed it, with, you know, just every, you know, layer of the internet, you go on Twitter, there's going to be ads for a sports book, you know, bet $1, win $250 to bet in bonus bets. So, I do it for FanDuel, and I love my partnership with FanDuel. But it's just so out there in the ether, out there in the public, that it's just so accessible. And I think there is part of me that feels a little bit of remorse, a little bit sorry for guys, because it's just, they're not available to do it. They're not able to do it. And it's so damn pushed in our face every single day.
That's true. It's also super easy just not to do it.
Yeah, no, I prefaced that. I prefaced the whole thing, but I'm saying it is out there consistently
right.
where, you know, it's unavoidable. It's unavoidable.
Per Front Office Sports, LeSean McCoy is the lead candidate to replace Shannon Sharp on Undisputed with Skip Bayless.
LeSean McCoy, 6-time Pro Bowler. I think you know what's funny? I was having this conversation with somebody yesterday when this report came out. LeSean McCoy has a pretty decent Hall of Fame chance, doesn't he? 6-time Pro Bowler, couple-time All-Pro, led the league in rushing 1 year. He was good. He's a damn good player. But if you don't know now, he's the co-host of Speak on FS1. I'm not a big fan of Speak. I think Speak's not great. And LeSean McCoy, I think, has a lot of work to get done if he wants to sit across from Skip Bayless. I feel like it would be just, you know, a car on the train tracks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, bike in front of the train, yeah.
Him being the bike or the car or the human in front of the train tracks, and I think Skip Bayless would just walk all over him. But Skip Bayless seems to do that in all of his ventures because Skip Bayless is overbearing. Gets there at 4:30, expects his partner to do so, according to reports. Also, he's likely not to sign off on any on-air talent who challenges him. So it's sort of built for his partner to be run over by him in a lot of ways. He's a diva. I'm talking about Skip Bayless. Prima donna. That's what he is. And I don't hear a lot of people say that. But that, I mean, he has been revolutionary when it comes to, you know, debate talk shows. He is kind of the godfather of it. But at the same time, we can't hide that he is a piece of work. He's a damn piece of work. But LeSean McCoy is expected to have an extended audition with Skip Bayless on Undisputed. Skip clearly has a whole lot of power. 4 years, $32 million will do that for you. Right. There's a couple of other names that have come up here that I think would probably be better. Emmanuel Acho, I think, would be better on it, even though I probably wouldn't watch because I just can't stand seeing Skip Bayless try to outdo somebody who's actually played sports. But Joy Taylor's there. Nick Wright is another name to watch. Max Kellerman, Keyshawn Johnson, Michael Irvin are outside names that are not at Fox that could be involved. But I said this yesterday on Twitter, and I truly stand by this. This is, I mean, if you've watched that show and how it gets brought up, I mean, Shannon Sharp had to defend his honor as a Hall of Famer in the NFL when talking about the NFL with Skip Bayless. How many times, if LeSean McCoy is on that show, is he going to have to remind Skip Bayless, I'm a 6-time Pro Bowler, brother. I know what I'm talking about when it comes to my sport, but regardless of who gets the job, I think the first question in those interviews, in the interview process, ought to be, how much do you hate yourself?
Yeah.
Like, how much do you feel like getting up, going to a production meeting at 6 a.m., meeting with Skip before that at 4:30 a.m., and then having him run over you all day on air? Is the money worth it at that point? I mean, it depends what the contract is, but how much do you hate yourself if you're willing to sit across from Skip Bayless for 2 to 3 hours a day and have him walk all over you? That does not sound like a fun job description, and that's what it is.
Yeah, no, and especially in that job, I feel like you also have to sign up for saying things that you don't truly believe.
Yep.
And, you know, we work in an industry to where we talk for a living, but I can truthfully say that nothing comes out of my mouth that I don't believe. And I don't know if I could do that. I just don't know if I could give away my integrity for an amount of money every single day and then get run over by Skip Bayless. It just doesn't seem appealing to me. I also like my sleep. I like my sleep.
Yeah, giving away integrity for an amount of money. We've talked about that a lot today, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
Yeah. Golly, shout out.
Not
shout
here on the Gabe Coon Show.
Shout out Liv Golf and the PGA Tour. Meeting up, exchanging pleasantries. But yeah, we talked about that a lot today. But I don't think LeSean McCoy is the guy for the job. I don't think he ought to want to be the guy for the job, but I don't know who is. I don't know who should be up for that.
I would like to see a non-player do it with him.
Nick Wright?
And here's
Nick Wright or Joy? Nick, or like who?
Nick Wright or Max, I think, match. I think Joy is almost too, it's too good for that show. Don't.
Also, like, Nick Wright is on First Things First, right?
Right.
Of all the shows on FS1 and Fox Sports, that's probably my most enjoyable one. I think those guys have a certain amount of rapport together.
Nick Wright.
And I don't think they should break that up to put him next to Skip. And, like, is this not what it has become? Whoever gets the job is just the next person to burn a bridge and have a bad relationship with Skip Bayless. That's what it's become with him.
Yes.
Like, whoever's getting in there is the next person to get pissed off by Skip Bayless and move on. whether it's two-year run, three-year run, four-year run, five-year run, it's going to end bad. It's Skip. There's one way this ends. So whoever takes it has to understand that going in.
The reason I don't want it to be a player is I don't want Skip to do the stupid invalidating people's careers and acting like they don't matter. I need
the one he did to Shannon Sharpe, where Shannon Sharpe's, I'm a Hall of Famer. He's like, but Tom Brady's better than you ever were. It's like, are you serious?
That was
dude?
The end of it. That
are
was
you
when
kidding
it
me?
That's the so day the music died.
It's foolish. And the DeMar Hamlin situation.
That
he tweeted
that.
About that, and Shannon tried to apologize. Shannon just had to apologize. I said it.
That's another thing.
What I say it last week, he's the friend that you always have to apologize for.
Yeah.
Where someone's like, I know he's your buddy, but like that Skip Bayless, when you are there with him, when you're paired up with him, you have to just account for him and apologize for him constantly. It sounds like an awful job. I guess the money could make you jump into it, but think about it ahead of time. Is the money worth the problem in the end of the day? That'll do it for the Blitz. We're going to go ahead and wrap up this edition, this Tuesday edition of the Gabe Kuhn Show, next with the rewind, I should say, on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Brought to you by Memphis Barbecue Company. Rewind on 92.9.
LIV Golf and the PGA Tour have merged. Yes, yes, that happened today. They have merged. After all the mudslinging that Jay Monahan did, after getting 9/11 victims to come forward on the PGA Tour's behalf, after 3 years of downing the Saudi Public Investment Fund, Jay Monahan decided the money is worth taking. It's a sad day when you get another example of sports washing working, like it truly worked, and in record time. And another example of, in our society, if it makes dollars, it makes sense. The game of golf is going to go through an evolution. And it calls into question our tournament here in Memphis, the schedule in general. It opens up the door for blood money to be continually taken in sports. I get that this is not new, but it's still disappointing. It's still disappointing. If you want to play back the whole show, download the Odyssey app and search 92.9 ESPN.
Watch the biggest game tonight, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook.
No NBA Finals tonight. No Stanley Cup Finals tonight. But we do have the Cardinals at the Rangers, 7:05. And here's why this is a big deal. We got a Dunning
on
the mound, baby.
You got a Dunning out there. Okay.
Dane
so
Dunning.
We're going into the MLB. Last night, you were on point, though, with
You're
your
damn
pick.
Right
How
I
about
was.
It? Vegas Golden Knights get their 7-2. What have they outscored? They've outscored the Florida Panthers in two games, 12-4. That'll do. They're on their way to an easy.
That'll do, pick.
Easy
That'll
win,
do.
But Dane Dunning's going, so you're picking the
Dane
Rangers.
Dane Dunning's going
over my Cardinals.
I got to go Rangers minus 140. The Rangers are also the better team. Just sorry.
Yeah, I mean, the Cardinals stink. They're 25 yeah. and 36.
Hey, I'm a Red Sox.
I can't stick up for them anymore.
Have you seen the stat that like every player that's not on the Red Sox now is like having a career year all
of
a sudden?
Yep.
Yeah.
It happens.
That's just how it goes.
It happens.
Fast forward.
NBA Finals Game 3 on the way in Miami. It's a needed win for the Nuggets. They have to make sure that they swing this series back in their direction after Miami has flipped home court. The Big 12 also has some serious consideration for UConn joining the conference. That will be on the docket, and there will be more where that came from. But that's a wrap for today. Thank you to Christian Fowler and Jeff Calkins for their contributions to today's program. We'll meet back here at the same time tomorrow. But in the meantime, I'm going to pass you off to Joe and Amber. For Connor, I'm Gabe. Be easy, be safe, and enjoy the rest of your night.
WMFS-FM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.